D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingett, and David Janes here with you. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us in the next segment, roughly 20 minutes from now. Ask D-Mace, 5 o'clock. So if you have a question for Derek, think about it.
Bring it back
to us at 5 o'clock, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, earlier this week, the University of Tennessee announced that it is reuniting with Adidas, effective July 1st, 2026. So long, Nike. Hello, Adidas. And I didn't really think much of it. David is saving that. We're not going to spoil it, Willie. I saw your reaction. David is saving it. Don't you worry.
I thought we missed our cue for
a
second.
No, we did not.
Okay. All right.
David's a professional.
Okay. I know what I'm doing.
We're talking about professional offensive lines.
I got you.
He is a professional producer. He is saving it. So now people are more interested. See, we're drumming up the interest.
Fanning the flames.
David has something in store for us when Chad Withrow comes on in roughly 20 minutes. So when I saw this news that Tennessee was going back to Adidas, I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I saw an article from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports with the headline, "What's the next arms race, quote unquote, in college sports? Finding ways to legally exceed the new rev share cap." And the story starts with Danny White, Tennessee athletic director. From Ross Dellinger, quote, "White considered plenty of factors in the decision to move back to Adidas, such as quality of the gear and overall financial terms. But one, perhaps, stood above the rest. How much NIL support would an apparel company give to Tennessee athletes? Quote, NIL was right up there, White told Yahoo Sports. We are in a very competitive space. It was at the forefront of my mind. Tennessee announced on Wednesday a return to Adidas. The brand and school struck a 10-year contract that is, quote, one of the biggest apparel deals in the history of college sports, according to White, likely putting its value at least $10 million annually in product and cash. At the heart of the deal is expected to also be one of the most lucrative NIL components in the history of college apparel deals, described by one of the company's vice presidents as, quote, establishing a new standard for investment in NIL. In short, the players will get a piece of the $100 million plus pie in a significant way, too, and for some of them, immediately. Adidas says it is already working to strike individual deals with Tennessee athletes during the school year, months before the new apparel contract starts next July. Once the partnership begins, the company will offer what it calls, quote, unprecedented NIL opportunities for UT athletes across all 20 sports.
I think what we're seeing is you have to give Tennessee credit because just like they were when NIL opened up and was a thing, Tennessee was one of the first to dive into the deep end and say, we are all in, full speed ahead. We've got the people. Let's get our people on this. Let's get this moving. And they are doing that again here. If it looks like a lot of teams are going to follow suit with what Tennessee is doing. And so when their deal comes up, they're going to be looking to shape their deal like this. But isn't it amazing that within weeks of the, what do you call it, the revenue sharing, the 20.9, the clearing, what did they call what was the name for the court case that hit? Well, you know, it had the name across the board. They roll this out, the revenue sharing.
I can't recall. I'll have to look.
Supposedly it's a cap, right?
Yes.
But you knew the minute they put that out there that the wheels were going to start turning. How you get around,
circumvent it, yeah,
and then find the loopholes to then go way above the ceiling of that, and you can tell how much research has been put in. The day that thing came out, right? Here's what they did, and the beauty of it for all these schools is it's not even cheating, right? All you're doing is finding the language of what the rule says, and just getting, you know, just inside on that line, and then go wild, right? You don't even have to cheat. The SEC is like, this is easy, man. We used to have to cheat. You don't even have to cheat now. You just have to find the loophole in the rule.
Yeah, I mean, they had to set this 20.5 sort of salary cap across the board. They figured they had to do that at the minimum to try to pretend that they had some type of guidelines. But they knew that, you know, there would be some loopholes. There would be around there would be a way around all of this. And just so happens, it's shoe companies. And, you know, monies they can offer outside of the 20.5 salary cap that every team has. But here's the question, though, because I don't need even in this article, they touched on it, but they really didn't give no solutions. Because we have the 20.5, and you have these other NIL deals outside of that that can push it up. But who's determining whether that value is correct? Like, if I want to offer you $5 million, who's to say that's above market value? You know, if an independent company, Adidas or whoever, that is not a part of the NCAA or this salary cap that you have established, what if they say, I want to give Adam $5 million.
Damn.
For the next 2 years.
Sure.
Who's to say that's too much? How do you determine that's too much? I understand that, you know, you can say, well, that athlete behind him that was a five-star, he only got $2 million. Well, that was their fault for only offering him $2 million. So then we're going to start playing with it. This is how we're going to really get around it. Okay, we're going to come together. We're going to make sure, like, at minimum, you're going to be offering $5 million. Because that allows the monies to go up. When every school is paying $1 million, and this guy over here wants to pay, well, every, you know, booster NIL person wants to pay $1 million, but that booster over there or that NIL sort of entity wants to pay $2 million, who's to say that's not a part of the, it's the new market now. It's just like anything. Yeah, the market may be this today, but if I got a guy that's coming out that's supposed to be a can't-miss athlete, why shouldn't I be able to offer him, you know, $2 million more than what the guy got last year? Isn't that a part of negotiation? It happens in the NFL, and essentially, college is the NFL. It's a pro league. So I'm looking at what Willie got last year, and I'm saying, well, in 2026, I think I'm a little bit better than Willie, so I should get more than Willie. Who's to determine and say, nope, you got to get what Willie gets?
I think they're going to find a way around all of this, and the athletes will get. I don't think you're going to have a lot of the top athletes saying that you're setting a bar and I'm worth more than the bar. I think they'll find a way to pay the top people. I do wonder about the transparency.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's supposed to be what the ruling in June said, is you're now supposed to have kind of a database where everybody says, this is what we're paying Adam, this is what we're paying Derek, this is what we're paying David, etc. But now, as we just talked about, what Tennessee's doing is they're finding the next, and a lot of schools, with the apparel deals, instead of it all being about the nice stuff that you get, hey, you get a lot of nice, you know, sweatsuits and shoes and all you want and hats. It's now beyond, and now it's like you can get straight up deals and promote Adidas, quote unquote, and that puts more money in the pocket. But this is the question I have, Adam. This is the question. Is the term more money, more problems going to come into play at some point? How much
baby,
money?
Baby.
How much money do you need? Right? What is too much?
A lot.
Willie, don't make me tap the sign again. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. Exactly. Don't make me tap the sign again.
But you know that, like, you've got schools like Tennessee and a lot of the schools like Tennessee. They are building the war chest.
Yes.
Saying, you know what? Georgia's going to have a lot, so we're going to have more than Georgia. Alabama's going to have a lot. We're going to have more than Alabama. And then Alabama's going, oh, no, you're not. We're going to have more than you. We're going to strike a deal that's got more money. But at some point, if you're allotting all this money, unless you're trying to distribute it among the 25 teams you have, and you've got your lacrosse team making great money, and your soccer team, and your swim team, unless that's the goal, I do think there's a point with the football team that you're going to have some fat and happy guys who are not good football players, and it's going to create a lot of a lot of infighting, a lot of jealousy, a lot of I think there is a price to be paid, and I do think it's going to be fraught with like I'd almost rather have a lean team that's hungry and not the highest paid team.
I want to focus even more locally on MTSU because I found this incredibly fascinating on Front Office Sports. The headline, how MTSU added $668,000 to its NIL budget. From the story, quote, for the upcoming season, the Blue Raiders made a new commitment to their football players to gain a financial and competitive edge. Backed by newly appointed GM Dana Marquez, MTSU has saved $668,000 by eliminating several alternate uniforms and cutting back from 408 helmets to reinvest into its football program, including NIL. A half million dollars will come from the helmet reductions, and eliminating the two uniforms will save $84,000 each. The money is going toward easing salary cap burdens and the post-House versus NCAA settlement era and hiring new people within the football program, but a large percentage is going toward NIL payments. So MTSU is cutting back on uniforms and helmets to save money to put towards NIL.
It's so funny because back in the day when the rules were what they were, that you couldn't get any extra benefits, and D-Mace, I would be curious your perspective because I think it's not going to be that much different than mine. It was all about the swag, right?
Yes.
Hey, they can't pay us cash, but man, we got some great shoes and we got some extra sweatsuits. And that's how the coaches would try to appease you, right? You got all this nice stuff from Champion. You got all this stuff from Converse. We were a Converse team, D-Mace, not a Nike team. But now it's like, hey, I can trade my swag in and get cash money. I would have done that in a heartbeat. Back in the day, but yes. Back then I didn't have that choice.
According to Front Office Sports, the 3-year plan started with cutting two of MTSU's uniforms black and gray and four of their helmets. Yeah. Marquez says, quote, we just went with one color and we did a game helmet and a practice helmet.
Give me the money, man. Forget about the extra. Yeah.
Small schools like that, they got to find ways to cut, inventory somehow so that then that money can go toward NIL, because if you don't have an NIL war chest built up, you're not going to be able to compete with a high school team. You're just not. And MTSU, Coach Mason, they understand that we are a smaller school. We're not getting the monies that some of these bigger schools are getting. So how do we, how do we sort of influx money, bring an influx of money into our program without having to go reach for a lot of stuff? Well, what you do is you cut back on a lot of things. But here's I think what's going to make this thing sort of difficult in a sense, because I don't think these kids are going to get fat and happy. I hope they don't anyway. But what's going to happen is going to be more and more and more. You're right about that, Willie. And schools are going to be looking for bigger and bigger deals that goes on. And now when you take an apparel company and they say, well, we're going to give you $500,000 or let's say $20,000 worth of inventory. And the student is saying, student athletes, no, I don't want that. I want the money now. It's sort of like what certain professionals do now in sports. They go to these companies and they say, well, I'm going to give you $10 million. And they say, no, just give me 2 or 3% stake in your company. It's a small company. Let me get 2 or 3. You don't even have to pay me. Just I have enough faith in your company that it's going to take off. So I don't want the money. Just give me the stake in the company. In a minute, that's where these young kids are going to be going. Seriously, I'm not talking about Nike and Adidas, stuff like that, where they're not going to give you a stake unless you're like a LeBron or a Michael Jordan. They're not. No, you're not getting it. Or Serena, somebody like that. These great individuals at their respective sports. But smaller companies, these young men and women are going to say, you know what? I got enough NIL money over here. Or I don't want it. Just give me a stake in your company. I believe in your company so much, give me a stake in your company. I think that's what's going to happen, and that's going to eliminate some of the, money up front. to individuals, because now they're taking a chance on your smaller company. Instead of giving money, they're saying, I'm going to get this five-star athlete and see if your company is bringing in, I don't know, maybe $1 million to $5 million per year to your company after you've paid bills and everything else. Well, if I'm a young cat, I'm like, I see that your company is going to be pretty good. You know what? Just give me a percentage or two in your company. I don't even want the money. So now you got money to go give to that other person at that school. If I'm an athlete, that's how I'm thinking right now.
Just to illustrate more of the differences between the quote-unquote haves and have-nots, here's more from this story in Front Office Sports about MTSU. 30% of the roster is receiving some amount of NIL payout, Marquez says, and although MTSU is using some of its saved money to directly fund these monthly infusions, it's also earmarked a portion of it to form a pool of cash that will go to players. The catch? They must earn it. Marquez says, quote, if we're going to pay you $2,000 a month and you want to make $4,000, you've got to work to get the $4,000, and we show you how to do that. Players are eligible to increase their monthly allocations by working directly for the Blue Raiders. For example, the team visits the local farmers market every Saturday and meets with the vendors. The offensive lineman recently met with a peanut butter company, Tees Nuts.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
And created their own spreads, Lord, they help sell.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
I like how you set that up.
Yes.
I said Tees.
Tees.
Tees. Yeah. T apostrophe S, yes. Tees Nuts.
And then what? Finish reading it.
That
Tees Nuts and?
They were
working
for him.
They're working.
No, you said it would give some, you said something
else. You
got
extra
else.
Money.
Yeah.
No, it was the wording. It wasn't, it wasn't that it was,
well,
I don't worry about
I've
it.
I clicked
don't
away from it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But I'm just like, okay, seriously?
Well, you know what? That's really how it should work. These are habits. You work for money and not just be handed the money.
Willie, that's been going on,
Coach,
forever.
I know. It's been going.
Hey, you can work here.
I know.
Derek.
Right.
What I'm not doing, don't worry about it. Just go sit in the front.
There was an ancient movie called One on One that starred Robbie Benson. It was like an early 80s movie of the week. And he was a scholarship. It's a tough sell because he did not look like an athlete at all. But he was going off to from a small town to be like big time college basketball. And they gave him a quote job, which was to water the golf course. And he got there and the sprinkler system came on and he realized he doesn't have to show up. He just gets the money.
He just turned on the sprinkler. Yeah, yeah. So there you go. It's been happening forever.
This movie was like from 1979 or something.
It's been happening forever.
615-737-1025. Before we get to Chad Withrow, let me just quote State Senator Clay Davis from The Wire, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit. I'll take someone's money if they're giving it away.
Yeah.
Why work for it? I'll take your money if you're giving it away.
Coach Willie has a bone to pick with him.
615.
And so does the Northern Illinois coach. There was a great clip last night. I was fired up. It was like late night. D-May sent a clip. The Northern Illinois football coach. I like that guy.
Yes, but you know what he doesn't believe in? What he should believe in. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. CM Punk, Adam Vingan. 615-737-1025. We'll bring in Chad Withrow. He knows a thing or two about Tennessee. We'll get his thoughts on this and more. I think Willie Donick does have a small bone to pick with Chad Withrow. And we'll do that next as well. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday, tomorrow, for their Lucky 13 anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, and, of course, ice-cold beer. Get a $100 gift card, half off, while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss the Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday, Fat Bottom Brewing Company, 844th Avenue North in Nashville. I think this is an appropriate way to bring in our next guest, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, of course, My Adidas by Run DMC. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Chad didn't have this tape, though, D-Mace. I had the tape.
And welcome in,
the
Chad.
The full album.
Yeah, Chad didn't have it.
Did you, Chad?
I did not have the cassette tape.
Did you have any cassette tapes, Chad, or were you just CDs only?
You know, I remember having a Kansas cassette tape. I think a Journey cassette tape, but other than that, it was mostly CDs. I'm all about physical media, guys, and I had all those big CD sleeves back in the day and in high school and college. So I think I had like a Legends of Hip Hop Greatest Hits CD that may have had that song on it, but I did not possess the cassette tape. No, I did not.
So, Chad, you tweeted about this the other day. I'm going to read it on the air for those who didn't see it. Quote, "I do not like Adidas. I do not like Tennessee going back to Adidas. I do like money. I like Tennessee having more money. Quite the predicament." End quote. And we were just talking about this because Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports had a story about, among other things, Tennessee switching back to Adidas and talking about how it's the next step in the quote-unquote arms race in college sports, finding ways to legally exceed the new rev share cap. So let's unpack that tweet that I just read for everybody.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on with this. And, you know, when I sent that tweet, that's my initial response to the story, which I do like to give, you know, my initial thought on anything. And I'm thinking, I just like Nike as a brand better. I think it looks better. I think the clothes fit better.
I agree with that. I like
more Nike than I do Adidas, you know, just as someone who may end up wearing that apparel. But it really sounds to me like this wasn't much of a decision for Tennessee, that Nike was not going to come close to what Adidas was paying, and that the way that Danny White, who, by the way, I fully trust, if Danny White thinks it's a good idea, I'm with Danny White on this because he has not led Tennessee astray on anything yet. But they're making so much more money, and the way Adidas came in and said, we want you to be our premier partner, and they're going to pay Tennessee more than any other college. And you see what they've done with schools like Texas Tech with Team Mahomes because they sponsor Patrick Mahomes as well. And Mahomes, you know, sponsors like 15 players at Texas Tech on NIL. Now they hire Candace Parker to be the head. I don't think that's a coincidence, by the way, guys, that she's now the head of women's basketball globally for Adidas. Tennessee and Adidas are about to become very synonymous. And I think from a financial standpoint, that's a very good thing for Tennessee. I could see a Team Peyton coming where there's going to be NIL payments made through Adidas for a Team Peyton where he's going to sponsor 10 to 15 players on campus in different sports. There's a lot of possibilities here, and certainly the next big arms race is finding ways to get creative, to go over that $22 million or whatever that number is in revenue sharing, and Tennessee's going to do that with a lot of the money that's going to be coming in through Adidas that I think by the end of the contract is going to be $20 million a year. I don't think it's that throughout the entire contract, but it's a very lucrative deal. So the more I read into it, the more I like it. But just on its face, I'm a Nike guy over Adidas every day of the week.
Now, Chad, our resident Commodore has a slight bone to pick with you, so I'm going to turn it over to Willie Donahue.
Okay. I'm sure he does. I can't wait for this.
Well, I want to get to that in a second. But, Chad, I have one follow-up on this because I'm really curious because, as I said earlier in the show, Tennessee has been really good at being at the forefront. When a new rule happens, they're on it, and they're ahead of a lot of teams. I was reading the article on Yahoo where a lot of schools don't have their deal come up for another year or two. What do you think the reaction of a lot of the big hitters will be as they see what Tennessee has done and then try to counter?
I mean, I would go find, you know, that apparel brand. You know, to me, like, the response would be, let's say someone's got a contract coming up and they could find some up-and-coming brand. Think about Kevin Plank and Under Armour back in the day. Someone that's got some money to spend, maybe someone that's got a billionaire backer as an investor that has got a new brand. If you could team up and be the premier school for that new brand, to me, that's the real lucrative money-making part of this. Nike has so many teams that they spread the wealth all over the place. But I think if you could partner with that brand that makes sense for you, that you could get the most money for them from them, I think that's probably the best way to do it, Willie. But there's not a lot of brands out there that schools are partnering with. So I think it's difficult. I think it was right time, right place. And I really thought the decision would be harder because I thought Nike would come closer to matching, but they didn't. Keep in mind, in 2014, when Tennessee moved from Adidas to Nike, Nike did not bid as much as Adidas. The money was actually a little bit less, but it was close. And I think it was Butch Jones at the time and others on campus said, look, our guys want to wear Nike. It's cooler than Adidas. It's going to help us in recruiting. Mm-hmm. So the powers that be at Tennessee listened and said, yeah, we'll take a little less money and we'll go to Adidas. But think about all the things that have changed in college sports in the 11 years since, right, or 12 years they've been with Nike. And now that money makes a big difference because it can go right back to the student athletes. and the money's way bigger for Adidas this go around. So things have certainly changed in 12 years. But I mean, honestly, can you make Adidas cool? Well, I don't know if it's ever going to be cooler than Nike, but you know, it is pretty cool, way more money. And that's what Tennessee is figuring out.
All right. So Chad, on your show with Hutt, you guys had a little beef with other teams' fans in the SEC, and you have become sort of the heel of the Vanderbilt fans. You guys love to go back and forth on the social media. I've enjoyed the banter throughout the years. Vanderbilt fans love to hate Chad. Chad is there for it every day and fires back. And so you had this thing about, you know, the collective Vanderbilt fans and your beef with them. So share that first for people who didn't see this, because my problem is the representation on your show to try to represent the Vanderbilt crew here.
Yeah, so first off, I think I'm a better representative of the Vanderbilt fan base, or at least their thinking or the demographic in the Mid-State, than our guest on the show who did this, Josh Pate, who didn't grow up here. But I'll get to that in a sec. First off, I do want all Vandy fans to know, Vanderbilt was the first of all 16 SEC teams we're doing this with. So the idea was we had – it's not the only one.
Like, you're not singling them out. You're going to do this all around.
Vandy, okay. Vandy fans love to hate me, and I love it too, and it's great. We kind of have a love-hate relationship. But they're the first of 16 that we were posting. So we had this segment with Josh Pate, who hosts a big college football show. Josh is notoriously positive about everybody because he's good at what he does, but I think part of his gig is I want everybody to like me in the SEC, so I'm going to say positive things about them. So the premise of the whole bit was Hutton and I would give what annoys us the most about each fan base or program, and then Josh Pate would tell us where we're wrong, right? He would set us straight. So my issue with Vanderbilt is the fixation with Tennessee. I believe that the common Vanderbilt fan, not the Vanderbilt grad, like I'm not talking to Willie and I'm not talking, you know, to people I know that went to the school or played for the school, even though certainly Tennessee is their biggest rival. And I got no beef with Tennessee being Vandy's biggest rival at all. My issue is that a lot of Vandy fans, especially the ones I grew up with that never went to the school, that's all they think about. Like, I have a hard time believing they hate anybody else in the SEC, whether they don't like them. The anger towards Tennessee is so much all the time that you get the sense that they almost care more about Tennessee losing than Vandy winning in games. I spotlighted that one tweet from one of these Vandy parody accounts who's very funny at times.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, 1-11 and a win over Tennessee is a successful year for Vandy football, like every year. And I'm thinking, this proves my point. Like, if you could go 7-5 or go 1-11, but ruin Tennessee season at the end of it, I think the majority of Vandy fans would take that. And that annoys me about the fan base. But I also think that the Vandy grad and the sidewalk Vandy fan are very different.
I don't think they're different at all. I think what you're saying is true to an extent. It's an exaggeration. They don't want it more than success. But the word that I think, and Adam, the bell isn't here yet, right? Mm-hmm.
No, not yet.
Do you have
the
bell?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We have a bell when we use a big word.
A big word, yes.
A big word. So
yes.
Hit the bell. The word today is schadenfreude, right?
Yes.
The definition, Adam, would be what?
We discuss this all the time back in the day about this is a common thing with fans. Go ahead, because I completely agree with you on this.
Schadenfreude, I believe that's how it's pronounced. I don't know.
If you're speaking German.
It's a German word.
I need to brush up on my German.
The pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune.
Right. You take a lot of pleasure in other people's pain, right? And so that is absolutely a thing, right? But here's the problem I have, Chad. I'm willing to admit it, that Vanderbilt fans absolutely have this. It's a thing. But Josh, the guy you had representing Vanderbilt on the show, he was a terrible representation of a Vanderbilt fan.
I don't disagree with you, Willie.
It was brutal.
I don't disagree with you.
Can I give you why? This is the why for me as a person who walked onto the Vanderbilt campus as a
it
naive,
became a legend.
A naive freshman, fall of 1989. I walked in, you know, signed to a scholarship for Vanderbilt basketball. From afar, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Memorial Madness. Nashville's a pretty big city. I didn't grow up here. I thought that in Nashville, there would be a huge amount of Vanderbilt fans, right? Because I saw the films of of Memorial Gym yeah. packed every night. I went to my recruiting trip to a football game against Duke. Stadium was full. I just assumed that because it's Nashville, most people rooted for Vanderbilt. I realized very quickly that you are surrounded when you're a Vanderbilt person. You're surrounded by, and I thank my teammates, Charles Mays and Kevin Anglin, who grew up in Nashville, who kind of set me straight and said, no. There's some Vanderbilt fans out there. Yes, there's enough. But you're surrounded, you're outnumbered by the Tennessee fans. Oh, and by the way, there's a lot of Alabama fans, Kentucky fans, et cetera, right? So I learned quickly. So the Vanderbilt fan is – Josh tried to make it out to, yeah, we're the old adage of, yeah, we're snooty, we're lawyers, we're intellectually superior. That's not what it's about. It's about being the scrappy underdog who's outnumbered. And you fight for every inch you got. And you're the underdog. You grasp that. That, to me, is the mentality of where this comes from. And so you're like the brother that's fighting back that, okay, if we can't beat you, then we hope everybody else beats you, all of that stuff. So it's not about the superior. He was talking about shopping at Whole Foods and where self-worth is way more. We can dominate you. That's not what it's about at all.
It was actually. No. It was actually Sprouts. Not Whole Foods. I believe it was Sprouts.
It was Sprouts.
Yeah.
You go to Sprouts, Willie?
I thought it was Sprouts.
Yeah.
Alfalfa Sprouts?
It was Sprouts.
Brussels Sprouts?
I definitely brought Whole Foods in the conversation. Look, Willie, I think you're nailing it. Like, everyone listening to this right now, everyone in Middle Tennessee totally understands what you're talking about, right? It is like you are surrounded, you're like Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, and you got the sword out and you got the horde running at you, right? If you're a Vandy fan in your neighborhood, at your church, at work, wherever you are, because of the amount of Tennessee fans. I totally get that. I'll also say it's probably pretty nice to fall back on the, well, my degree is worth more than you and I'm smarter than you and have more money. And I do think that some Vandy fans like to do that, which is always fun. Here's my thing, though, about Vandy, and this is where I want them to get, and I think a personality like Clark Lea could get them there. And we actually interviewed Clark Lea the next day, and funny enough, I ranked all the SEC coaches on the Any Given Saturday show in terms of likability, and I ranked Clark Lea number one that I saw on the show. I had Brian Kelly distant last, and Clark Lea was number one in terms of likability because I believe him. He's a believable guy. Like, it's a believable chip on his shoulder. That whole speech he gave before the Auburn game, and I asked him about if that actually happened, where he heard the coach talking about having to create energy that day and how mad he was about that and how disrespectful it was, and we're about to go out there and earn some respect, and they went out there and beat Auburn. It fired me up. I loved it. I want to take that energy. I want to displace that to other teams other than Tennessee. I want Vandy to be big enough and good enough to where now they hate Auburn, or they hate Ole Miss, or they hate Kentucky, close to the same level as Tennessee.
Good luck.
look, Vandy's way down the list of rivals for Tennessee, but I will say, we talked about it last week, when James Franklin had them rolling, or when Vandy's beating Tennessee, that ranking, right? Tennessee fans move Vandy up of rivals when Vandy is relevant and beating them something. So that's definitely a moving chart for the Tennessee fans out there. I just want Vandy to have another rival at some point. I just get the sense that they just are kind of okay with everybody except for Tennessee. I want to see a little more hatred, Willie. I want to see your teeth a little bit more as a Vandy fan. That's what I want.
Kentucky basketball is pretty close, I would say. That would be the one exception, but I don't know that that's going to happen overnight, Chad, what you're hoping for. So well, the schadenfreude will continue.
Bowl games, Clark Lea with that attitude and keep getting to bowl games and battling in football games that matter. And I think you'll get there. I do. That's not me placating the Vandy fans or anything else. I truly love Clark Lea and I love the direction of the football program. So I hope that it develops more rivals.
Chad Withrow of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze, Fingan and Donick. Chad, excellent stuff as always, my friend. We'll chat next week.
Tell Josh to call me. I'll get him going. Tell Josh that let's talk a little bit. I got to work on.
He's got to work on his
game.
We need to get you, Willie. We need to get you on the show as the Vandy representative next time.
Okay.
And by the way, I got to head out to Sprouts to load up for the weekend.
All right. Enjoy Sprouts, my friend. Chad Withrow on the program. 615-737-1025. I can't wait for Derek Mason, a proud Michigan State Spartan, to respond to our next topic.
Yes.
And that's coming up next. 615-737-1025. Before we get there, though, let's test your speed dial. If you want a pair of tickets to the Nashville Dance Fest at the legendary Nashville Palace, September 5th through 7th, be caller number one at 615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to the Nashville Dance Fest at the legendary Nashville Palace, September 5th through 7th, can be yours if you are caller number one at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I want to bring up this next topic mostly to hear Derek Mason react to it. As you know, Derek Mason is extremely proud to have attended Michigan State University.
Go green.
Go white.
A proud Spartan. So I want to hear what Derek Mason has to say about the punishment that the hated Wolverines of the University of Michigan received today for the entire Connor Stallions fiasco. Here are the bullet points. The Michigan penalties. 4 years probation. Fines that could surpass $30 million. Recruiting restrictions. Jim Harbaugh, who is now coaching in the NFL. A 10-year show cause order starting in 2028 following the current 4-year show cause penalty. Sharon Moore, a 2-year show cause order, 2-game suspension, 2 games in 2025, 1 in 2026. Connor Stallions himself, an 8-year show cause order. Denard Robinson, a 3-year show cause order. So, the most important thing, however, is that the University of Michigan is not receiving a postseason ban, and the University of Michigan is not vacating any wins. So, Derek Mason, take off your green and white glasses for a moment. Actually put them back on. I want to hear what you think about all of this.
Listen, the Big Ten is not going to cut off their nose and spike their face. They're not going to do it. And what I mean by that, they're not going to penalize their team and take one of their teams potentially out of the college playoffs. That's just not going to do it. It's too much money involved for them to do it. It's cowardly by the Big Ten. It truly is. But I do understand it, because now if this would have happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, then yes, I think they would have vacated the season. The coaches probably would have had a show cause, and they would have been penalized with scholarships, which means they probably wouldn't have taken away scholarships. Is just as bad as banning somebody from the playoffs. Because if I take a number of scholarships away from your team, you can't build your team the way you want to. And eventually it's going to erode
your NIL money and pay the freight anyway. They act like that's a thing now. They're not even aware that, the scholarship maybe isn't worth what it used to be.
Yes, it's not. But, that's, to me, how they would, try to do it. But I understand what they said, and because I am, as much as I hate, I loathe, let me say that, I loathe the University of Michigan. There we go.
Good vocab.
I loathe them. But even in my loathing, I do agree with one thing, because I've always agreed with this. You can go back. It's hard to punish the kids for grown folks doing. For grown folks' transgressions. They knew exactly what they were doing, all of them. So it's hard to then say, you know what, incoming guys, now that we've got rid of that coaching staff, show causes 2 to 10 years, we're going to discipline and punish y'all now. The ones that are here, we're going to punish y'all and anybody else that come here for the next 5 seasons or 6 seasons. I've always thought that that was unfair. And even though I loathe the Wolverines, Scum University. I am not going to be a hypocrite when it comes to that. I try not to be a hypocrite anyway.
How noble of you, Derek.
But, yeah, but
I was going to say, I'm a little disappointed
because
Willie,
because I can't. Believe me, I want to go in. I do.
You're trying to be above board. You're being the bigger
when
person.
When they go low, we go high.
Right. That's what you're doing.
I'm trying to go high, man.
You don't want to be known as the guy that's just hating on
it. Be a little petty, Derek.
So I don't have anything.
I said I loathe them. I really do. Like, anything that represents the University of Michigan, sports-wise, badminton, polo.
Darts,
cornhole, anything. And it made it, you know what happened this morning? It made it all so bad. I talked to my son this morning. He said, Dad, he said, I'm locked in. I'm studying for my MCAT. So I said, okay, great. I said, what are you thinking like as far as states? He was like, well, I was thinking, you know, maybe out Cali somewhere, Texas, you know. He said the state of Michigan. So I kind of went over and it's like state of Michigan. And I was like, okay, what school in Cali? He told me, what school in Texas? I was like, what school in Michigan? University of Michigan. I said, whoa, what? I said, Michigan State got a good program. He was like, yeah, I know, but Michigan has a really good. I was like, man.
He said that without even hesitating. Yeah.
He
said it.
He knew how much it would get under my skin. He knew.
Oh,
he knew how much it would get under my skin. And I said, you know what? I became a dad. And I said, listen, son, if you want to go to Michigan, it's fine with you. I will support it, but I will not wear any apparel from the University of Scum. I will never do it. But you can go there. So there you go.
Can I read my favorite part of the 74-page report from the NCAA as it relates to Connor Stallions? Quote, his conduct following his separation from Michigan hindered the enforcement staff's investigative efforts in numerous ways. In a November 9th, 2023 recorded phone call between Stallions and student athlete one, Stallions told him that his personal phone was, quote, shattered in 1,000 pieces under a pond. Stallions also said, quote, they don't have hard drives of the film. My film is in the bottom of the pond, end quote. When asked about those comments during the hearing, Stallions admitted that he disposed of his phone in the pond.
In the pond.
Just, you rat.
This is the thing. This is the thing.
Scum okay? University.
I don't have anything against Michigan.
I do.
Don't. I know you do.
I do.
But I have, what I loathe is cheating, and they cheated.
Yeah.
And I don't even care at all how much of an advantage they got or didn't get. They blatantly disregarded the rules and said, we're going to cheat. And we're going to do it right in front of everybody's face, and we're going to make a production out of it. There's a 30 for 30 about this guy. But here's what really disappoints me. Everything in this report, how many pages was it?
74.
Mm-hmm. They knew all 74 pages worth of this stuff during the season.
Yes.
2 years ago.
They
didn't have the guts to make them ineligible for postseason when they knew. Because the Big Ten didn't have the guts to do it. Because, like you said, they might win the national championship.
Yes.
Oh, and we don't want to penalize the kids. They cheated.
Yeah, you're right.
And so everybody else, $30 million for a national championship? Every Michigan fan's laughing all the way. Sure, man, whatever the penalties are, that's fine. Coach Harbaugh's gone. He's coaching. We got our championship. They had the chance to do it, and they didn't have the guts. And now they're like, oh, look at these penalties. Show cause at $30 million. Oh, we're really coming down hard on the Wolverines. No, you're not. It's all after the fact. You didn't put any postseason ban. It's a slap on the wrist. It's money.
You know what?
They had all the evidence in during the season.
Thank you. Willie is a lot. Y'all ever seen that skit where former President Obama was on stage? And Keenan Peele was like the alter ego, like the angry Obama.
The translator.
Yeah, right. Willie's my translator.
That's right.
Willie was my translator right there. He said all the things that I wanted to say, but didn't say.
Tried to stay above board.
Exactly. I tried to stay above board. So Willie just came in and said what I really wanted to say.
His anger translator, specifically. All right. Derek's fired up. 615-737-1025. So it is a great time for Ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. any and all questions for Derek Mason. It can be about sports. It can be about life. It can be about
anything.
Anything. If you got a question for Derek, now is the time. 615-737-1025. We start Ask D-Mace. Coming up next, Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.